Have you ever wondered how sound can heal, inspire, and transform your life? What if the vibrations around you could unlock your true potential and guide you to a deeper sense of harmony? Welcome to Sound Pathways, the groundbreaking journey into the healing power of sound, creativity, and connection with your host, Dr. Karen Olson. In each episode, she explores the profound link between your mind, body, and spirit. From composers and musicians to sound healers and visionary leaders, she'll dive into captivating conversations that reveal how sound shapes your reality, heals our wounds, and helps us manifest our dreams. And guess what? You're part of the conversation. So call in and ask questions and experience personalized sound healing live. And let your sound be your guide to the life you've always dreamed of.
Welcome to Sound Pathways, where frequency, creativity, and heartfelt conversation become a bridge back to wholeness and a gentler way forward for our shared human family. And today, we are so fortunate, and we're going to talk about The Way of Unity, a new story of wholeness for our lives and our time. Unity is not an idea, it's a practice, and our guest is Robert Atkinson, PhD. Tonight's conversation is a meaningful pivot because so many of us feel the strain of division in culture, in community, even in family life. And what the world needs right now is a unitive vision that offers hope, optimism, and real encouragement, not as wishful thinking, but as a lived path. I am so honored to welcome Bob Atkinson, an award-winning author, educator, and developmental psychologist whose work bridges storytelling, transformation, and the evolution of consciousness. Robert has written 11 books exploring life stories, personal myth-making, and the collective story of our time. He's the director of Story Commons, founder of the One Planet Peace Forum, and a member of the Evolutionary Leaders Circle. In his newest book, The Way of Unity, Essential Principles and Preconditions for Peace, it's an invitation and a study guide for putting unity into action in everyday life. Bob, thank you so much for being here, for teaching us all what it means to show up. And before we dive in, I want to name the heart of what and why this matters. So many people are tired of conflict, tired of fear, of feeling that we're losing our shared humanity. So please share your inspiration behind this message of unity.
Thank you, Karen. It's great to be with you and to have this opportunity to talk a bit about this this unitive vision. That's really what it is. And this book is the culmination of about a dozen books that have kind of each one led step by step to this one. So I see it as the culminating effort in a 50-year-long career of writing books, and it's as we were talking about earlier, this is a book that is right for our time. There's no better time than right now to be thinking about unity, and that's what the book does. It really offers a strategy to bring a divided humanity together, and it's a way to realize collective harmony that will and is designed to lead to planetary flourishing. So the book covers quite a bit from a cosmological perspective on unity to a principle-centered approach to unity, and also on a very practical level, it offers a wide range of communities around the world that are actually putting into practice what I refer to as unitive principles to bring about unity in their own neighborhoods and communities. So we can, there's a lot to talk about with all of that, I guess.
Wow, that's really inspiring. I like to talk about really working on ourselves and finding that harmony within ourselves and the balance so that then we can share it with others, and it's nice to think of sharing it in communities and how it ripples out and sends it out to the world, and the difference can begin with us. So when you say unity, what do you mean? What do you not mean? Can you distinguish unity from uniformity, or unity from agreeing with everyone?
Yeah, that's a really important part to make clear at the beginning. Unity is not uniformity. The unity that I'm talking about, and the book really develops in a long step-by-step way, is is the unity in diversity perspective. And so I use the universe as one example. We have so if we look at the entire creation of the world, we know that there are so many different elements to it, from planets and everything on that large scale to the micro scale as well. But the thing about the way the creation was created is that it was designed as a collection of diverse elements to be in harmony with each other. So we have we're part of a creation that was designed to be in harmony and in unity with all the other parts of it, even though there are so many different elements that make it up. And we can also think about the human body in the same way, with what is it? However many thousands of cells that we have in our body that are all different and very diverse organs in our body. They're all very different, but they're all designed to work together, to create a harmonious relationship with each other so that the human body stays healthy and functions as a unit in cooperation and collaboration with each of its components.
Oh, that's a really interesting analogy, especially because when a part of our body gets out of balance, it affects every part of our body and life, and what we need to do to restore that is a great example. Also, I love nature and how it just is coded within its cells of what each plant, each part of nature is to do. But sometimes that gets a little out of balance too, but somehow it all gets like a forest fire, and then the permaculture, everything comes back. The charcoal makes the soil rich, and the rebuilding, and all of it. So you've written so many books about the stories that we live inside. And what was the moment you realized it's time for something more? It's time for a unitive path.
Well, that's been an understanding of mine that goes back quite a few decades, actually, in my life. One of my well, part a really important part of my story, how I arrived at that understanding, includes the time in my mid-20s when I happened to just find two mentors who provided that sense of wholeness and completion and cooperation among all of its parts. One of the my first mentor, living mentor, was Pete Seeger, and who I met in actually 1968, and then a year later, we reconnected, and he invited me to be part of the maiden voyage of the Hudson River Sloop Clearwater up the Hudson. And one of the interesting, and this is actually also part of my memoir, which I wrote about that time. And one of the things that I got from him right in the very beginning was he was, when the Clearwater arrived in South Street Seaport in July of 1969, it drew crowds of people who were interested in cleaning up the Hudson River. They knew it was time then to clean up the Hudson River. But Pete gave everybody who gathered around the sloop and the dock at the time, he gave them more than that. He talked about how all things are tied together. And when you recognize that all things are tied together, you can't just clean up a river by itself. You end up cleaning up all of society. So that's what I got from Pete very early on. And a few months later, I serendipitously met Joseph Campbell at one of his Cooper
Wow.
Union, at one of his Cooper Union Ooh. Talks. And he was the one who put the pattern, who gave a context for the pattern that I was living in my own life at the time. And so he spoke on that holistic universal level as well. And so there really has never been a time since then, in my mid-20s, that I haven't seen the whole first and then its parts. And when we shift our perspective from the parts to the whole, it gives us obviously a whole different way of seeing things, and a very different way of living our lives moment to moment. So that's been part of me for that whole time. And even though it took me a few more books, and then finally this book that came out in August of this past year, The Way of Unity, to really put that all together in a complete package, talking about first cosmological unity, how the nature of the universe is peace and harmony and unity. It's only after certain species came along to try to impose their individual will on things that balance got out of balance. You referred to the seasons too, the seasons of nature. That's another perfect metaphor, I think, because, and I use that in my in my metaphor as well, because after that maiden voyage on the Clearwater this summer, I lived in a cabin in the woods on the river, and I had the opportunity there to explore the woods around the cabin and learn, and it happened to be in the fall when all the leaves were changing color and dropping and everything was changing, and that just gave me that the insights that I gained from a deep exploration of nature was to understand that each cycle, each season of nature makes up just one part of a greater whole. And so when the leaves are falling in the fall, when the trees are barren and the branches look like twigs, that's just a temporary phase that we know is going to lead us to spring and to summer. And so that's a whole other important metaphor, I think, to keep in mind about the cyclical nature of those patterns. One of the problems we have today is that we tend to get stuck in, you know, the winter part of things, which we are in now. We're coming, I think my perspective is that we're coming out of a winter period, and what's next, what we're coming into then would be a springtime. And I even think of that of what we're coming into as a spiritual springtime, a real deep renewal of all of the eternal truths and the universal principle, the timeless principles that the world has been built on for so many centuries and millennia. Those all come back into focus in that spiritual springtime that we're entering into now.
Oh, wow. You have such a beautiful, learned and knowing language that you speak in so fluently. And it seems like this book is kind of a full circle not even more than a moment, but experience where it's bringing it all together. And I share with you the deep connection with nature and love all the analogies and the seasons, and that we're just all a part of the seasons of life. It's just really inspiring. So you also point to the innate sense of harmony and unity within and the wholeness. But sometimes I think for some people it might feel a little out of reach, especially during some of those challenging days and times. So what do you think the inner knowing, why do you think it is sometimes hard to access, and what could help us remember how to be whole?
That's a
That's
great
your book.
question. Yeah, no, that it is. And it's a great question because the answer to that question is in the question itself. All we really need to do is remember that we're created whole. We may have lost that awareness. Actually, there's an interesting legend that is found in many different cultures and traditions. In one legend, in a few different legends, it's referred to as the legend of the angel and the unborn soul. And what happens in that legend is that an angel comes to visit the unborn soul in the womb and takes it on a journey to what its life will be like when it leaves the womb. And then the angel brings it back to the womb, and 9 months later, it's born, forgetting what it had learned from the journey that the angel took it on. And so we're born into this world forgetting, with the task or the challenge of remembering what we once knew as an unborn soul. And so that's where what and why the question and the answer are together in your question, because it's a matter of remembering who we really are as souls who were created in wholeness. And because of the physical world around us and the division and the so-called seemingly separation all around us, we're sent on a physical and spiritual journey to remember that we really are created whole. And when we go, and this is the part of the book, and a big part of, I mean, the main part of another book that I wrote called A New Story of Wholeness, which is based on the universal mythological pattern of the journey of the hero. But rather than think of that pattern as ending in the person becoming a hero or heroine, all we need to do is shift it a little bit to understand that that universal pattern is really about a journey that takes us on a path of remembering who we really are. So we go on that journey, and we come back to a remembrance of the wholeness, the whole being that we are. And in psychology, that process is called individuation by Carl Jung, which is a process of the birth of the ego, death of the ego, and the birth of the whole self. And I call the pattern, I gave the pattern sort of a name of my own too, in that but in all the versions, which go from mythology to mysticism to rites of passage to psychology, all those versions have their own, all those ways of knowing and practice have their own versions of it, of the same pattern. And I call it beginning, muddle, and resolution. A muddle is what brings about the conflict that we, or the challenge that we have to face and work our way through to realize the resolution of it. And so that's another way to understand that whenever we face any kind of a conflict or a challenge in life, or what I would think of as a muddle, that has a real purposeful place in our life to bring us to the understanding that that's a place not to get stuck, but a place that is meant to lead us through that, and in the process, bringing about a deep transformation, which then leads us to the realization of who we are, who we really are, a whole being.
Wow, that's a lot of concepts, lot to take in. I like to think also of remembering why we are born, and also the whole concept of dreams means a lot to me. And for me, that's really seeking our path, our purpose, and all the meaning in it. So many things. We're going to just take a little pause. And I'm excited to learn more ways to find unity in ourselves and our world. Okay. You describe a unity in action model, not just an idea, but a way of living. So, what does a unity in action look like on a normal Tuesday in a conversation, in a family dynamic, or online?
Well, that's a great question, and it's very kind of complex in the sense that there are some things that we need to understand in order to have that outcome happen. And so what I describe in the book is a strategy that is being applied in thousands of communities around the world, based on first knowing what the unitive principles are that can be applied in everyday life in a neighborhood or community, and in all of the relationships that we have on those levels. If we understand what the principles are, and the book goes into a lot of detail about what they are, but just really quickly, a couple of them are unitive justice, which would be justice that brings about unity by maintaining solidarity on all levels. Another one would be unitive economics, which is economics that brings about unity by eliminating the extremes of poverty and wealth. Another one might be unitive education, or education that brings about unity by seeing all knowledge as a reflection of a greater wholeness. And most importantly, I would think in terms of the question you asked, is the understanding of the concept of unitive relationships, or relationships that maintain the inherent harmony and balance between all beings. So this includes relationships that bring about gender equality, relationships that nurture the innate potential of children and youth, as well as relationships that honor humanity's inherent diversity, and also relationships that are harmonious with the with nature and all living things. So if we understand those unitive principles and apply those in our everyday interactions with each other, that's a big important part of a strategy and a practice that we can apply. And so along with that, these communities that I'm referring to, they are really applying that in the context of a collaborative learning process, which is also has at its heart a process of consultation. And consultation is a specific practice that is designed to bring about unity in a group or a community dialogue or conversation. So understanding those principles and strategies and applying them can be a very not only practical but very meaningful way to ensure that there is harmony and unity in any group or community.
That's beautiful. If someone feels hopeless or cynical or exhausted, what's the smallest unity in action that they could step that's an action step that they could take that would help them? Or
Well,
yeah.
yeah, I think that kind of comes back to what we may have been talking about earlier, and that the first step really in this whole process is that one that we were talking about of remembering that we are whole, we're created to be whole beings, and that realization and that remembrance gives us what I would think of as a sense of inner peace. Or inner harmony, inner unity. And when we have that and we're aware of that we have that, then that's something that we can easily, by our actions based on that, we can easily convey that either directly or indirectly to whoever we come in contact with. So that's always the first step is achieving, recognizing, and gaining and maintaining that inner sense of harmony and unity within ourselves, and then remembering that as we have interactions with anyone else in all of our relationships. And just I mean if we so none of this is any good unless and until we are in relationship with others. And when we are, if we're in relationship with others, with the understanding that we're a whole being ourselves, and our interest really is to connect with another human being on that same basis that they are a whole human being as well, then that is what will allow that unity between more than one being to happen. And it's a it's a, so it's a it's an awareness that we carry with us that really creates the relationship, the form and the quality of the relationship that we're entering into with anyone else.
That's beautiful. And really, I do believe it starts with us too, in that harmony and the balance. And it's giving and receiving. I think realizing that that's part of community and relationships is that that's also a balance. So on Sound Pathways, we work with frequency and vibration and the healing power of music and words and concepts. So, what role do you feel that story and art, music, and beauty play in restoring unity? And what do you think, and what words do you think fail or interfere with that?
That's a great one. And that's another kind of complex question, but it actually does connect to another principle that is developed quite in detail in the book, and it's the principle of unitive narratives. And those unitive narrative is a narrative or a story that brings about unity. It's a narrative that's grounded in unitive consciousness that brings about unity by validating and supporting the unity and diversity of humanity and all life. So again, it's an understanding that we have to kind of start with. And when we do that, I mean, it's fairly obvious to most people today that one of the ongoing struggles in the world today is the battle between unitive narratives and divisive narratives. That's going on all around us, everywhere we look and everything we read in the, online in the newspapers everywhere. It's a constant battle. But it's not a new one. It's been that way forever. It's just that things shift throughout time and across cycles. And that's the other part to it. This is all about a ongoing cycles of what I would think of as growth, maturity, decline, and renewal. That's a typical cyclical process of renewal, growth to maturity to decline and renewal. And everything is in different places at the same time in that cycle. But as it's easy to imagine, we are at a point where the distinction between unitive narratives and divisive narratives may have never been clearer to us. And so we all have a challenge to think about that and in the stories that we tell about ourselves, about our communities, about the world we live in. Our challenge is to tell and share with others stories that bring about unity ultimately, or that maintain or that inspire unity rather than its opposite. So it begins again internally, and we share that with the world that we're in contact with. And the more unitive narratives there are out there, the more we'll be able to overshadow the divisive narratives that are also out there.
That's beautiful. And in my analogies, I also think of harmony and dissonance and lining, tuning things up so that they're in balance, and it sounds healing. It's, you know, the harmonies, the resonance, the all of that that's also part of nature is gives us that. So you've given us so much hope and so many images and ideas and ways. And how can people find the Way of Unity and follow your work?
Yeah, you can go to my website, which is www.robertatkinson.net. And you can also go to Amazon and look up, or any other bookseller online and bookstore that might be handy, look up The Way of Unity.
Beautiful. And
but
online, do you have social media, or are you more through your website?
I'm on some parts of social media. I'm on Facebook, and I just started a new series on Substack, which is called Love, L-U-V, for Living a Unitive Vision. So that you can find that series of my stories on Substack. Love, L-U-V, living a unitive vision. And I just wanted to add what you were saying about music and harmony. That's where how I would see stories and music interacting with each other, because unitive narratives, the unitive stories, are designed to do the same thing for stories that you just described is meant to be the purpose of the highest level of vibration that we can imagine for any form of music. So those two genres operate the same way. A unitive narrative reaches for that highest level of vibration, just as music does to inspire the hearts of people by reaching to that highest vibration possible.
Highest frequencies, yes. And I wonder if I could quote you about joining a global movement of our time and building a culture of oneness by taking the pledge. And I was wondering if I could have your permission to read that, or if you'd want to read it, or can I go
ahead?
Sure,
go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, sure.
The Oneness Pledge. I'd love to share an invitation that aligns with this conversation, the Oneness Pledge. In all my thoughts and actions, I pledge to look on all things with the eyes of oneness. We live in a time of spiritual renewal. The greatest challenge of our time is recognizing the oneness of humanity. This requires the abandonment of prejudice of every kind, race, class, color, creed, nationality, gender, economic status. everything that enables a sense of superiority of any kind. So join this movement. And before we finish, what's one simple practice you'd invite listeners to try in the next 24 hours so they can really be in this place of join in on this unity and the oneness pledge?
One simple practice. Well, I guess that I might as well go back to that to the first step of the process and make sure that we have that clear and down, which is remembering that we are created as whole beings.
Beautiful. So tonight, thank you for inspiring us, and well, in all our days, to choose one unitive act and to continue choosing them. One moment of courage, it says, I will not contribute to separation. Offer a listening ear, speak with compassion, repair one thread, support one community effort. Because the world doesn't change all at once. It changes through us, one choice at a time. Create the life you were born to live. One breath, one choice, one true step now. Blessings and love. And thank you so much, Bob, with all my
heart. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Blessings.
Thank you so very much for joining us on today's transformative journey. We're honored to have shared this space with you, and we hope you're feeling inspired and aligned with your highest self. For more insights, resources, and to continue your path of healing, be sure to visit KarenOlson.com, your gateway to deeper sound healing, music, and wisdom. Remember, Sound Pathways is here every other Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on BBS Radio TV, Station 1. Until next time, stay alive, stay inspired, and let the magic of sound guide you.